And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg, who was at Craven Cottage Wednesday night. In this episode, we're going to be breaking down the 2-1 loss for Fulham against Bristol City in the League Cup match. Like I mentioned, Mike was there, and I actually watched the replay today, so I look forward to going through this with Mike. But before we do anything else, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Yeah, doing well. Looking forward to talking about a frustrating result in the end. A lot of talking points. I just want to apologise in advance to the listeners, though. I will possibly have to drop off for a few minutes as the glorious Argos are 2 hours late in a delivery. And it should be any minute now, apparently. But hopefully, if it happens, I can deal with it very quickly. But, yeah, looking forward to the show.
Okay, and that will test my ad-lib ability once again. I didn't do great in the last show, so hopefully I do better at this show, my friend. But I'm up for the task. I'm up for the challenge. Not a problem. All right. Like I mentioned, I listened to the match, then I watched it back today. It's funny because on many occasions, listening back and then watching it match up, Mike, this time they didn't match up. Actually, what I watched, even though the result did not go our way, I actually left thinking that Fulham played fairly well in the first half. I want to say really good in the first half. Second half, not as good. I think a good part of that has to do with how Bristol City played. But I'm glad I watched it and that we could talk about it now. Not happy about the result. But I definitely want to get into really just breaking down this match. So just share with me your overall view of what you watched last night at Craven Cottage.
Well, I mean, it was, like I say, at the beginning, it was a disappointing result. And last-minute goal, and I've said it on Twitter as well, you remember the last minute, whether it's a winner, you could have played rubbish leading up to it, or if it was like last night, you know, last-minute goal, you're out of the cup, and that's what you remember, that's what you're walking away from the ground moaning, and, you know, every player's rubbish, we played rubbish. But really, on reflection, I thought first half we were much the better team, apart from, a few minutes here and there, and we showed a lot of positives from a very changed team. You know, 11 new players, the B team, if you like, although Jokanović says there isn't one. But the second half was disappointing in certain areas and, a game of two halves. But I still wouldn't say Bristol dominated the game, but they certainly had the better of the second half. And it was a game of missed chances, really, I think. You know, we never created that many clear-cut ones, but the ones we did, we didn't take. And, a couple of lapsed defensive moments cost us in the end. And I will say that the Bristol City manager made a couple of good substitutions and tactical changes, and we lost it partly, I think, to one substitution we made, which I'll talk about later. But overall, disappointed, but there are some positives to take from it. And it's, again, I don't see it as the doom and gloom that I've read and heard as I walked away from the ground last night. But yes, immensely disappointing because we could have been in the last 16, but for a missed penalty and some better finishing.
I think you just kind of summarized it very well. Like you said, missed opportunities, missed bad finishing, like you just mentioned, and unfortunately a missed penalty. But I definitely want to go in a little bit of detail on the penalty when we talk about the second half, because I saw this from you, a tweet from Dean Jones from the Bleacher Report, talked about the tactical situation with the goalkeeper. I definitely want to talk about that because I watched it several times, and it's very interesting. We'll save that for talking about the second half because unfortunately, he made a very good save on Colly Woodrow's penalty, but there might be more to it. I definitely want to talk about that when we get there, Mike. But let's start with the starting 11. Like you mentioned, 11 changes. You know, a completely different team. I call it a B team. I know Jokanović doesn't call it a B team. That's what I call it. But this is really the same team that has been playing in the League Cup and has done very well. And I think, you know, again, we want them to win, but I don't think they embarrass themselves. Like you mentioned, Mike, this starting 11, they weren't dominated by Bristol City. They had a good amount of possession. In fact, if I'm looking at the possession stats, it's only 52% to 48% in favor of Bristol City. So it's very even. So they didn't dominate Fulham. And I thought the starting 11 did fairly well. Unfortunately, the result did not go away. So I want your thoughts. When you first saw the starting 11, I was fine with it. I know there are others that are that were not fine with it. Were you fine with it?
I was okay with it, and I know there's lots of discussions on cup games, especially when you progress a couple of rounds. You know, do you play a stronger side? Do certain players deserve a chance to try and win a place in the team? But in the end, he's, you know, for the first two rounds, he's played a couple of youngsters, given some of the players who have not been starting games, and he followed that through last night. The only surprise, if any, was Tunnicliffe as captain and at right back. But quite frankly, I didn't have too much of an issue. There were times last year when maybe I would have put him at right back or Christensen at right back instead of you-know-who. And, you know, so I... And who knows, that could be a position he could eventually play at. But, you know, it also shows that we are lacking, because of injury, another right-back reserve, if you like. So, for me, Tunnicliffe and Christensen down the right made sense. And Adrian and Eden had played really well in the previous games. Maddo and Ream are the centre defenders, numbers 3 and 4 at the moment. And Malone has missed the last couple of games concessionals played. So that sort of back four and the youngsters playing made sense. Johansson coming in for his second game, you know, after a disappointing half hour when he got hooked off. You know, I did expect him to start. And maybe the surprise was Pierzon playing behind Woodrow. Woodrow deserved a start, you could argue, and you know, because he scored in the first round. I know some people say maybe Martin should play to, you know, try and find some form, or even Smith. But the starting 11 made a lot of sense to me, really. So I never had any issues, and I thought the bench was quite strong as well. And I think the way the game started and progressed in the first half, I think he was justified in that selection. The other thing as well, Russ, is you're on a no-win situation. If he plays the full 11 and he lost last night, and then he plays the full 11 on Saturday and they lose, or even if they won last night, if they lost on Saturday, then everyone would say, well, why didn't he play the reserves during the week and rest them? So it's you can't really win. And I think, you know, the crowd last night, 6,000, you look at the crowds for the other games and the teams that are being put out by, you know, from Premier League down to League Two. This cup has turned into a little bit of a B-team cup, certainly until you get to the sort of quarterfinals and 16. And I think fans, in a way, the majority of fans accept that's what's going to happen. And I'm one of those who quite likes looking at some of the youngsters and some of the reserves to give them a chance. So, anyway, going back to the starting 11, not surprised at all with it, really.
Yeah, listen, Mike, based on the other two cup matches, I wasn't either, and I wasn't really disappointed. I understand all the fans that have the argument to put out your best starting 11. I understand that, but you brought up the argument where it really is a no-win situation. And honestly, from the first two League Cup matches, I guess you could say, style of the starting 11 of giving these guys a chance to play has worked. So why wouldn't you reward many of these players another chance to play in a League Cup match? So I don't mind this. I saw this more as a reward, Mike, for these players who have been working hard, you know, that aren't starting with a starting 11, and give them a chance to play. And who knows? Maybe they win. They've shown nothing in the other two prior matches that they didn't deserve to play in this match. So why not? I saw this, Mike, as a reward to these players.
Yeah, I mean it was, and you know, and they deserve it. I did actually forget to mention probably the one glaring sort of player missing was Bettinelli. You know, Jeanrin played in the first couple of games, maybe he felt obliged to play him again, but really with Betts sitting on the bench for the league games now, you would have thought he would have stepped into that position. So that's, you know, maybe that's the oddest selection last night, or the one that raises question marks. And after the performance as well, which we can talk about later, you know, it's an interesting dilemma for who is the second or third choice goalkeeper.
It's a very good point. And it's funny because, especially in the second half, Gentleman Jim was talking a great deal about Jesse Ronan, and now I understand why after actually watching it for myself in the second half. All right, let's now get your first half observations. Obviously, we have the goal in the 15th minute by Piazon, set up nicely, great cross by Colley Woodrow. And Colley actually had a few opportunities to score in this match in the first half, actually. And then, unfortunately, later on, you have actually in the 45th minute, you have Odauda setting up Wilbraham, who chips the ball over Yeronen to make it 1-1. And unfortunately, we go in the half 1-1. But like I mentioned, there's a great deal going down in the first half, Mike. So I really want your observations of what you watched. I'm glossing over just a couple moments, but really just share what you witnessed at Craven Cottage in the first half.
Yeah, well, we took a couple of minutes to really get going, but I thought, you know, from maybe about the fifth minute onwards, for a good half hour there, we were the better team. Yes, Bristol had a couple of attacks and a couple of corners, but while we may not have been peppering their goal, you know, with shots left, right and centre, you know, Malone was getting in some good crosses, and there's an argument to say that Woodrow should have got onto the end of one of those. Malone also had a shot come cross, and then also another shot as well. So we were getting a lot of joy down the left. Tunnicliffe and LVC were working well. But really, for me, the standout in the first half was Johansson. I thought
absolutely
he pretty much ran the game. And I tweeted during the game that we were being much more direct, and somebody did mistake that in thinking I meant direct football. It wasn't. It was, instead of passing the ball sideways, which people have been moaning about, it was much more going forward. So when you're playing those type of balls, they were playing from midfield, Adrian and Johansson, they're going to get cut out more. So hence, I think that's why our possession stats were down, because we weren't looking just to pass it sideways, pass it back. So, and also they were both running with the ball at times. And,
absolutely.
But I thought Johansson's tackling, I thought his passing, both short and long range, and running with the ball as well, was the big standout bit for me. And Pearson as well, linking up well with Woodrow and also being the link between the midfielders. I thought Teo was a bit quiet, but again, you know, him and Malone did well. And I thought the back four and Tunnicliffe as well, defended fairly solidly. And so there was nothing in that half where I felt we were worried. And then the goal came really well, you know, the ball down the right and good cross by Woodrow and a lovely header, really good header by Pearson. And, I think he's about 6 feet. He's not the tallest player, but he showed in the first half. He's got some nice touches and a nice, tidy player, I would say. I wouldn't say he's the strongest, but he looks useful and he scored in his debut. You can't moan about that. And we had other chances as well. And the most glaring chance that was missed was Woodrow. After a lot of good play around the box and a couple of pass chances, it comes to him. And he should really slot it away, shouldn't he, Russ? I mean,
he should have scored in the 45th minute, Mike. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bad miss, and you know, Sessegnon missed one one-on-one with a keeper the other week. But he's a left back. You know, you can't. I'm not going to have a go at him. But Woodrow sees himself as a striker. People go on about he's the one who's, you know, he should have been in before Dembele last year, apparently, and this kind of thing. And he really should be making the goalkeeper work harder than he did. So that was disappointing. We could have been easily two up. And then for about the last 5-10 minutes, City started pressing us a lot more. As the half progressed, our sort of passing from the goalkeeper outwards we were finding that a bit difficult. And so you were just thinking, well, just get to half time. And then we had a decent attack down the right. Tunnicliffe was involved, and the ball sort of breaks away, and suddenly they're chasing us down, and I think we were outnumbered at one stage, and it's just a little dinky ball over the keeper in the end with a through ball, and you'd have thought Madder and Ream could have done a bit better there, but so finished the half on a bit of a downer. But to be fair to the crowd, who I will be critical of in this for the second half, at half time they went in, we were disappointed, but it was a good round of applause because we saw that we had played well and we'd be more positive. And like I say, it was a decent performance despite letting in a silly goal at the end. And I think the thoughts were that, as long as we can come out second half and get going, that the game was there for us, and we should go on to win. But a good half, I thought, and positives from a number of players.
I agree, Mike, and I'm glad that you singled out Johansson, because he really impressed me. You're talking about his passing, the long passes going across. Across the pitch were actually excellent. Some didn't meet the player, but again, you're not gonna be 100% on those. But what I liked about the play in the first half, Mike, was the flow of the team, and they all seemed to be on the same page. They all seemed to be pushing forward. Like you said, it was more direct, but it was more just the flow kept going, not sideways. Like you said, I just liked the way that they looked all together playing as an 11.
Yeah, I mean, I did get I got a sense of before kickoff. I mean, they did their normal sort of player huddle, but you sort of think, well, what are they talking about in there? But I mean, they could be arguing, we're the reserves. Let's go out there and show that we deserve a chance. And there was some good patterns of play, and people have to accept that, the way we're playing with, say, Parker and McDonald is we're going to keep the ball 65-70% of the time. We're going to pass it sideways. We're going to be looking to slot the little pass through in between players. Whereas I thought last night we gambled a bit more. Again, that's what fans are wanting us to do. And naturally, mistakes are going to be made. But they have to accept that if you're going to play players like, the youngsters and Johansson and Christensen also, they are going to be much more direct in their running and their passing. And, what you said about, the actual flow, the way things were linking up, there were times we had the ball for a good amount of time, trying to put crosses in. They were coming out, and all that front six were all involved. And I thought, like I say, Tunnicliffe and Christensen linked up well, and Malone and Eden down the left. So all in all, a good half despite going in 1-1.
It was a good half. It's unfortunate, like you said, how the half ended. That was a disappointment, but the way that they played, like I said, I'm just talking about the flow. What I watched was nice to see, and the running by the two midfielders, central midfielders, was impressive. But you brought up a good point, Mike. When you have McDonald and Parker, they're more safe. They're going to play it more safe. They're going to play it more sideways. And in this match, we saw two central midfielders that were not playing it as safe. They were running, and they were, I guess you could say, gambling a little bit, but it was coming off more often than it wasn't. So that's why I was really impressed with Stefan Johansson, honestly. All right, let's move to the second half. And before I get your overall observations of the second half, I definitely want to hone in on the penalty from Kalei Woodrow. It happens in the 53rd minute. And I just want to thank Dean Jones for actually tweeting that out. I've seen it before, but the way that he described the tactical play of the goalkeeper definitely had an effect here, Mike. And what I watched, when I watched it closely, he was, playing games with Colley. He was, he started to move to his left, then he moved back to the right, and then as Colley was about to go, he dashed right over to the right. So it almost seemed like he was trying to get Colley to shoot to his left, go into the goalkeeper's right. He almost talked him. It seemed like he almost was talking him into it. What are your thoughts about how this, I guess you could say, the mind games and this penalty? Listen, Woodrow has to score here, but I have to give some credit here to the goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah. I mean, firstly, yeah, definite penalty. And Woodrow did well to win it as well. You know, we're going into the box and he was taken down. And, you know, no issues with that.
Absolutely.
But he was done, wasn't he? You know, the goalkeeper done him. And unfortunately, the Dean Jones tweet, which I did retweet, at work, I have two screens. One of them has TweetDeck on forever. And for some reason, in one of the columns, that Dean Jones tweet would just not move. No one else tweeted down that column. And so I had it on complete repeat constantly for a good hour. So believe me, I've seen that penalty a number of times. Yeah, goalkeeper psyched him out. And,
totally.
You know... Woodrow, you know, he's still a young man, but he's, you know, he's played 50, 60 odd games now, and you know, he's played a lot of times for the England under 21s, and you know, he's taken the responsibility for the penalty. He wants to be the main striker, and no, the goalkeeper done him big time, and you've got to praise the keeper, and
absolutely,
yeah. I mean, this is what people are looking back on now with Woodrow, the missed chance. A missed chance in the first half. You know, he did put the cross in for the header, and
he
fair play to him. But, you know, you missed that chance. You missed that penalty badly, really. The trouble with what happened, it was so early in the half that having not scored it, Bristol City, their heads were suddenly up and they had a spring in their step. And the crowd and the Fulham crowd and the Fulham players, suddenly that it was, oh no, you know, have we blown it here? We should be leading. We let them have a sucker goal at the end of the half, and you know, what's going on? And from that moment, City pretty much controlled the half for maybe the next 10, 15 minutes. We couldn't string a few, you know, any passes together, and we just lost our way. There were a couple of instances I saw where players were arguing with each other for not working hard enough. And I think then there was an injury about halfway through the half, which gave a sort of 3 or 4 minute respite. And we seemed to sort ourselves out a bit and got back into the game. And, you know, we had maybe not a lot of chances, but we were getting into dangerous areas and Malone putting crosses in. Tunnicliffe put a decent low cross in towards the end of the game, but with, you know, players not gambling, not aiming for the goal, you know, getting that 6-yard box, getting in front of the players. And also we have to remember that City had a couple of one-on-ones. They beat the offside trap.
They did.
And, you know, Jesse made one really good save. But I mean, again, what's going to be remembered about him was that Bristol City changed their tactics second half, and we were almost incapable of passing the ball out to the defenders. You know, so our goalkeeper's job is to roll it out, you know, pass it to one of the back four or one of the midfielders. But really, City were pressing so high, and a couple of Jesse's kicks weren't very good. And then he made a mistake given where he should have booted the ball, and he gave away a free kick on the edge of the box. And he lost total confidence, and which is a pity because he's played really well in the previous games. And, you know, I've said on this show that, you know, him and Bettinelli, you know, they're wafer thin in ability, the difference of them, really. And if anything, you know, Jordan seemed to have gone ahead of him a little bit. But last night, the crowd lost faith in him, and he lost faith in his own kicking. But he still continued to, you know, make a couple of good saves. But I want to just dwell on one thing, and that's the substitution of Christensen. Now,
absolutely, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, Christensen and Tunnicliffe, I thought, linked up quite well down the right. Now, I wouldn't say Christensen had his greatest game. There was a number of times when he had the ball and he was doing those kind of runs he does, and he was just running into players, and, you know, when he could really have passed it. But then, you know, Jokanović took him off. I don't think it was an injury. He certainly didn't look injured to me. And brought Torre on. And that seemed to unsettle us a bit and give them more space on our right-hand side. And whereas Tunnicliffe and Christensen seemed to be doubling up and if Tunnicliffe went forward, LVC would drop back into right back and all this kind of stuff. And it gave them an impetus on that side. And, of course, eventually after City made their sub and brought Abraham on, that's the side the goal came from as well. And I just felt, you know, it wasn't in retrospect. I was disappointed Christensen was taken off. And that was a tactical mistake. We gave them a chance. I think it's O'Dowd, I think, is their left-sided midfielder.
Correct.
I might be saying that wrong, but he certainly was involved a lot more as soon as Christensen was taken off. So maybe the Bristol City manager saw that as an area to attack. And yeah, the substitution of bringing on Abraham, you know, he's one of those tall, lanky, arms and legs everywhere type players, you know, like Crouch and Adebayor, you know, they're just so awkward to defend against. And I have to say, he had our number. You know, he gave Maddow a really difficult time. He was, in that gap between him and Tunnicliffe. And, of course, the goal right in, you know, beginning of injury time just killed us. And we really never had the ball for the last 3 or 4 minutes of injury time. And City outdid us in that last 15, 20 minutes, tactically. We were done because Johnson made the better substitutions and we lost confidence, and every player who played well in the first half, which was nearly all of them, in the second half they all started to fade away and not be able to make those kind of passes or runs they wanted to do. So yeah, a disappointing end of the game. We should have kept the ball out. I think Smith would have come on at the beginning of extra time. And who knows what could be happening. But as I say at the beginning of the show, we lost because of a missed penalty and not taking our real chance at 1-0 to make it 2-0. And that's going to be the story of it, really. Very disappointing. They're very disappointing end to the game.
Definitely, Mike. Tammy Abraham, like you mentioned, scores in the 90th minute. He's going to be a handful on Saturday. There's no question about that. I think bringing him on and what Fulham didn't do were the differences in this match. And to be fair to Bristol City, like you said, Mike, they had more than a few chances in the second half to score. I do want to give Jesse Ronan credit. You already mentioned this, but late in the match, he actually made a great save on a one-on-one situation with Luke Freeman. So I thought he redeemed himself a little bit there. So after all the issues that he was having with his confidence, like you were mentioning, in the very end, he actually, you know, I'm not talking about the goal. I'm talking about before that, he was given an opportunity to redeem himself in that part of the match, and he did. Unfortunately, a little bit later on, Tammy Abraham scores, but tough way to lose, Mike. Definitely tough way to lose. What I'd like to do now is I actually want to share some commentary from a Fulham supporter who was at the match. He messaged me, and I want to see what you think about what he shared to me. So his name's Michael Fernando. First thing involves what you just talked about. His number one point, first point, was when Smith was warming up, he kept looking over Slav almost like he was begging to be given a run around. So that was number one. Then he said, number two, Ream wasn't that bad yesterday, but he is so horrendously one-footed and looked nervous when having to use the wrong one. Number three point, Christensen lost the ball so often but does give an injection of pace. It looked like he was short on confidence, to say the least. And finally, he said Johansson's long-range passing was another level, and he should have a chance in the starting 11. I totally agree with his fourth point. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts about the points from Michael Fernando?
Yeah, well, I can't disagree. Smith was warming up for quite a while at times. And like I say, I'm convinced, actually, he was going to come on if we reached the start of extra time. And as to the one-footed thing, yeah, Ream is one-footed. I didn't think he had a bad game last night. But then a lot of our players are desperately one-footed. And it's a real bugbear of mine that players who are paid thousands of pounds a week are scared to kick the ball with their other foot. And but you know, he's he come in, he did okay. I thought Malone was really good, you know, really good as well. And a player who let me down last night was probably Maddle. You know, there's people wondering whether he should be, you know, Kalish should be the one to drop out so that Maddle plays next to Ferguson. But not for me. For me, Kalish is the most consistent player we've had this season throughout all the positions. And he's the one with the shirt. And I don't expect Maddle to come in on Saturday at all.
Okay, very interesting take on Michael Maddle. It's funny because I think on I saw on it might have been on Twitter or Facebook talking about Michael Maddle and his distribution is that we're missing that in part of our play, Mike. You know, because he can, you know, he could take the ball from the back. But what are your thoughts about that? Do you think, you know, do you think we lose that ability because we want to play the ball off from the back with our goalkeeper? Do you think, you know, Kalas and Sigurdsson are just not that type of central defenders, though?
Well, I think Maddle's a very good player. He's a very good defender. Now, compared to players like Byrne, Hutchison, Bodaroff, who we all saw last year, Maddle was a step up. And so we were all really happy he joins us in January. The thing is, Kalas has come in, Sigurdsson come in. They're a step up on Maddle. That's my view. So all you're seeing is the natural movement. Kalas, I think, is a better player overall, and I think he's better at taking the ball out. Maddle is a really good defender. I like him. I don't think he was great last night in the second half. I think Abraham, you know, had him all over the place. But I think it was just systematic of the way City were playing, in that they were pressing us. And that's one thing Jokanović is going to have to sort out. Every team now is going to press us and press the back four, the two midfielders. He has to find a way for us to get the ball out and not make every goalkeeper we've got look like a nervous wreck. Because basically, we've got three goalkeepers and none of them are that great with the ball at their feet. And he's asking them to play a certain way. And fine, I'm not against having a plan. And if that's the way you want to do it, then do it. But when tactically you're found out and other teams start stopping you do that, you must have a plan B. You can't just keep saying to players, you know, you have to kick it out, you have to pass it to you. If there's no one there to give it, then they should be allowed to have the option to throw it out to midfield further or kick it long. And he's going to have to sacrifice that, I think, even if it's just to scrape a win somehow at the weekend. Because I can imagine Bristol City this weekend, from very early on in the game, are going to be on us, right on top of our back four. And I hope Jokanović has, you know, has looked at that and makes a change. And if he doesn't, I for one, will be disappointed because I think it's time he needs to spring a surprise on the opposition and not be surprised by them.
That's a great point there, Mike. It's about adjustments. You brought up something that he's going to probably need to do is make an adjustment for our goalkeeper to make it easier for him to get the ball out, because they're going to have to find a new way, because teams are just going to continue to do this. They're going to continue to press because they know that's what we want to do. We want to play it from the back, and Yeronen looked uncomfortable. We've already seen Pettin look uncomfortable, so that's going to be something that he's going to have to figure out. Very good point by you. All right, Mike, quickly on the stats. I have limited stats here, but I think that basically they just show an even match. Possession 52% for Bristol City, 48% for Fulham. Total shots even at 8 on target. They edged it 5-3. Corners were even at 4. And we had one more cross on them at 5-4. So, you know, we're limited on the stats, but do they basically show you just an even game?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too sure if it was 52-48 or if it was, you know, 52-48 the other way. I mean, it was an even game. It's two teams trying to play football, which is good. So, you know, what people haven't mentioned is last night was a decent game of football. You know, hardly paid anything to actually go. I think it was a tenner for me, it was fiver for from your dad, you know. So, you know, that kind of value. It was a decent game of football. Wasn't the result we wanted. But, yeah, stats-wise, 2-1 either way would probably have been a fair score. And, you know, neither goalkeeper, you know, had that many real saves to make. But, you know, we all had some shot. We both had some shots. I remember Pierzon one, which was very high. Woodrow one in the first half. You know, Malone a couple. And then a couple of shots which were being blocked left, right and centre. So, yeah, it was, I think the stats certainly showed that it was a fairly even game in that regard. You know, we had a good first half. They had a better second half.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right. We just have a few more minutes. I'm going to give you the comments from Savisa and just get your thoughts on them fairly quickly here. This is from the manager reaction. Quote, in the first half, we missed many chances, Jokanović said. We dominated the game, and they scored with their first shot. We started the second half very well as well. We missed the penalty, and we missed a few other chances as well as that. But they also missed some good chances near the end of the game. In the end, they scored in the last minute of the first half and the last minute of the second half. Then they didn't give us any space to react. I set out the team to win the game, and it was a good performance in the first half. But we have to play the last minute of the first and the second half. It's bad to concede goals in these minutes. We are all very disappointed, but the feeling is mixed because we played many good minutes. But at the end, we didn't win the game. When asked about the apparent lack of goals from his side, Jokanović was quick to point out his side didn't press the opposition hard enough. Quote from Solisa, we aren't lacking goals. We didn't restrict the offensive Bristol players. Generally, they protected the balls into the offensive areas, which gave their team more energy. We didn't prevent these balls into these areas. But as I said before, a match is an hour and a half. And that basically just gives you a thought about the match. Then he talks at the very end about the upcoming match on Saturday. Mike, what stands out to you from the quotes from Savisa?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where his English is struggling a bit sometimes. You know, he talks about they scored at the end of each game, and you know, he scored at the end of each game, and that never gave us any space. I think that's what he says, and what he really means is no time to react. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And we did, you know, and in the first half, we did play to the end of the game. The thing is, we were attacking. They scored with a breakaway, and you know, so you could be argued we should have been a bit more. Sort of, you know, a couple of minutes before the end of the game, let's just keep the ball for a little while and, you know, get through to half time. But we were being offensive. We were attacking. And when we're not getting the run of the ball at the moment. And the trouble is with the four games that we've had where, you know, since the international break, three of them have been at home. Two of them, the keepers have had nervous breakdowns because of the way they're being told to play and being hunted down by the forwards. But like I say, I go back to it, you know, tactically he lost yesterday. He lost the game second half. As I say, I think the LVC substitution, I think the way when they brought Abraham on and they pushed on, maybe he should have brought Smith on straight away to give us the opposite effect. Down their end, and then, you know, Woodrow, the striker, misses the two really good chances, the penalty and his shot. So it would have, you know, 2-0 would have been so much different, as we know, and that's where we're struggling. We got over one hurdle yesterday where we scored first, so we weren't chasing the game like we have done recently, but. Something that's been good is we've been playing right to the end of each game. And, yeah, you know, you've let two goals in basically injury time of each half. And so is there a mental issue there? I don't think it is. I think it's just the way the game panned out in those particular two phases of play.
Okay, very good, Mike. Listen, I very much enjoyed doing this with you. Before we go, couple topics I just want your thoughts on real quick. I'm going to give them to you together. Want your full man of the match. Definitely want the full man of the match. And also, we're talking about Savisa at the end, so give him a rating 1 to 10.
Okay, so man of the match, I'm torn between Malone and Johansson, but I'm going to go with Johansson just based on the fact that first half he was head and shoulders the best player on the pitch, I thought anyway, and I don't know what you thought, I haven't watched it. But,
I agree.
I would give him the man of the match. Yeah, go on.
No, I was just about to say, Mike, I'm glad that we really haven't mentioned Scott Malone, but Scott Malone played very well, and I was watching the press conference with Savisa after the match, and he talked about that he has two options now,
yeah,
with Sessegnon and Malone, and I agree with him there. You know, I mean, he can choose whichever match he wants to feature either one of them, because I think Scott Malone has proven himself.
Yeah, he was probably the most consistent player last night. You know, if I was going to be really fair and say he was the most consistent, but for me, Johansson just offered a lot more in that first half, and you may have seen it on the replay, you know, right in the end when they'd scored the goal, he chases down the keeper from our own half. I mean, where's Woodrow? Where's Piers? You know, why aren't they doing that? And so, yeah, for me, he was a man of the match. Now, rating the manager, well, like I say, tactically, I think he made a mistake and he was outdone yesterday. So it's going to be a low score. I was happy with the team, the lineup as such, but I'm going to go and give him a four.
Okay. Very interesting. Michael, very low. Four. Okay, very good there, Mike. Great show. Great show. Thank you so much for doing this with me, Mike. Final thoughts, anything you want to say about the upcoming match before we go?
Yeah, we have to win. And we're going to see a changed team again. I don't think we'll see any of the players from yesterday's start. But he needs to find a different way of getting the ball out to our players. And we need to be a bit more direct running. And what I will say is, Russ, I've really enjoyed the show. It's been great. And amazingly, Argos have just turned up. So I'm going to get my delivery. But,
okay, perfect timing, yeah. Mike. Perfect timing.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Great job, Mike. And thank you so much for doing this with me. But as Mike mentioned, we have to wrap up the show. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike.
Yeah, cheers, Russ. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Boys and girls.